me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up? I'm Mean Joe Grizzly, and this is the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast, and I want to wish a happy 4th of July to all my American members of the Mean Militia. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about Stranger Things Season 4 Part 2. So turn off the Kate Bush, crank Master of Puppets to 11, and take a dive into the sensory deprivation tank. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. With season 4 coming to an end, there is a lot to unpack. All three groups would band together unknowingly to take down number 1, aka Vecna, with mixed results that had very dire consequences in the end. The plan being to kill Vecna while he's chasing Max throughout the mindscape of her consciousness. The Hawkins group was split into three groups. Lucas, Max, and Erica would be the bait group, and they would hang out in a Creel house, having Max turn off the Kate Bush song so that she could be placed under Vecna's curse and send Vecna chasing her through her own consciousness. Dustin and Eddie would be another bait group, and they would be the ones who would lure the demo bats away from Vecna's lair, while Steve, Robin, and Nancy would administer the killing blow to the big bad. Meanwhile, the West Coast group rescues Eleven before she is killed by the military and the increasingly sadistic Lieutenant Colonel Jack Sullivan. Eleven would later join the battle psychically against Vecna after Argyle pulls his bro card with a local surfer boy pizza shop, where they would turn the freezer into a makeshift sensory deprivation tank. Meanwhile, in Russia, Hopper, Joyce, and Murray will return to the prison after escaping to possibly provide another diversion for Vecna by taking on the Mind Flayer and all the creatures of the Upside Down that were held captive in the prison. With all these skirmishes happening at the same time, the finale builds up into its epic conclusion. And I think that this was coordinated damn near perfectly. I stated in my review of Stranger Things Season 4 Part 1 that the story seemed all over the place, but when everything comes together at the end, it definitely feels very cohesive and way more put together than I initially thought. So the Hawkins group initiate their plan, and Eddie and Dustin are back at the Upside Down version of Eddie's trailer, and they hook up the amp to Eddie's guitar, and Eddie says, "This is for Chrissy," and starts freaking shredding Master of Puppets. It was so freaking awesome. And there's also this moment prior to this where at the end of season 4 part 1, you know, Nancy gets taken by Vecna under the Vecna curse, and they're desperately trying to break the curse and bring Nancy back, and they're digging through all of Eddie's tapes, and they're like, Robin's like, "We need real music, we need Madonna and Sticks and all this stuff," and Eddie's has a copy of Iron Maiden's Peace of Mind on a cassette, and he's like, "This is music." It was like, yeah, freaking hell yeah, so freaking awesome. But ultimately, him shredding Master of Puppets brings the entire group of demo bats descending upon Eddie's upside down version of his trailer, and Dustin and him barricade themselves in, giving Robin, Steve, and Nancy the chance to get in and kill Vecna. Meanwhile, Max turns off Kate Bush and she is taken by Vecna into Vecna's curse, and Vecna is chasing her through her memories. While that's going on, Lucas is having to deal with the crazy high school basketball team kids that are hell-bent on just killing his group of friends because the Hellfire Club is evil in their eyes because they're real ignorant. And the head guy, and I can't remember his name, it's not really important. The head guy is just full-blown psycho at this point. He's become a straight Stephen King bully where he is just this homicidal bully. And he tells Lucas that if he doesn't wake Max up out of whatever spell he's put her under, he was going to shoot him in the face. And this ultimately leads to both of them getting into a big-time fight. And it goes back and forth for a little bit. Meanwhile, we cut over to Dustin and Eddie again. And they are about to be completely overwhelmed by the demo bats when they decide to retreat back to the real world through the gate. Dustin goes through the gate. Eddie cuts the rope and elects to stay back and lure the demo bats away because Eddie, this whole arc is him being a coward and running, and he's tired of running. So Eddie rides away and he eventually rides to where they catch up with him, and he seemingly is overwhelmed by the demo bats, but he's holding his own. Meanwhile, we cut back to Steve, Nancy, and Robin. They are completely ensnared by the vines of the upside down, trying to get to Vecna. All the while, Vecna has closed in on Max and is about to take Max when Eleven shows up, and the epic battle begins. Not just between Eleven and Vecna, but between Eleven and Vecna, Lucas and the basketball bully, Eddie and the demo bats, and Hopper and the Demogorgon in the Russian prison, ultimately resulting in Hopper slaying the Demogorgon and protecting Joyce, while Murray burns the rest of the Mind Flayer-possessed demo dogs with a flamethrower, and Eleven and Vecna would engage in a psychic battle that would seemingly go back and forth for a short period of time before Vecna takes the upper hand, sending both Max and Eleven into his lair. It's at this time that it is revealed that Vecna is the cause of everything, where we initially thought that he was a minion of the Mind Flayer. It turns out he created the Mind Flayer, and he had been the cause of all the events that have taken place since the very beginning, where he, after being casted out into the upside down, he wanders the upside down, absorbing all these different energies and seeing all these different forms of life, until he comes across what essentially is this swirling cloud of black dust and smoke. And it is here where he shapes it into a spider-like being and creates the Mind Flayer. Ultimately, it seems like he created the Mind Flayer in the image of a spider because of his admiration of Black Widows. So that makes a lot of sense. Everything comes together at this point, and you see that he truly is the big bad of the series. And this ultimately sends Eleven into like a confidence downward spiral where she is helpless to do anything, which I kind of had a little bit of a problem with that. It kind of made her seem super weak, and we know that Eleven is capable of so much. Especially in hindsight of in season 3, Eleven pulled no punches when she was dealing with the what I call the meat flayer, which was the fleshy version of the Mind Flayer that was chasing them around in season 3. She pulled no punches. She wasted no time just destroying pieces of that thing, and it didn't make any sense to me that after all this, she finally finds out what causes everything and that she's kind of responsible for it. And I guess that can be like a blow to your ego and your self-esteem as a young child to hear this, but ultimately he's about to kill Max, and Eleven is kind of paralyzed by her own fear and futility. And finally she musters up the courage with some encouragement from Mike, who is telling her that she's the chosen one, she's our superhero, this, that, and other. And she ultimately barely stops Vecna from killing Max. She gets twisted up and her eyes are about to explode and she's about to be crushed. And Vecna is ultimately stopped by Eleven. And meanwhile, back in the Upside Down, Nancy, Robin, and Steve are set free from the vines and go into Vecna's lair, and they throw Molotov cocktails on him, set him on fire. Nancy shoots him with a shotgun several times, sending him out the window on fire and seemingly to his death, only to later be revealed that his body had disappeared and that he had survived. Meanwhile, back in the real world, Lucas is holding Max's body as she's slowly fading towards death. And she keeps telling him that she's scared and she isn't ready to die. And ultimately, she dies. And when she dies, that sets Vecna's plans into motion. The whole time, Vecna has been trying to open four gates. And the way that he was going to open these four gates was by killing four kids. And Max was the fourth kid. So in the time of her death, the gate opens. And when it opens it splits Hawkins into several pieces. Just this huge earthquake where the earth is splitting apart and the Upside Down is bleeding into the real world. When this occurs, a crack opens up in the attic and essentially splits the basketball bully in half. So we don't have to deal with that douche anymore. He's dead, and just causes this humongous disaster that brings national attention to Hawkins. Meanwhile, Eleven realizes that Max is fading, and Eleven essentially revives Max. Now, this isn't a full revival because Max seemingly is in a coma, and when Eleven enters her mind, it's blank. There's nothing there. So we don't know if this is stating that Max is brain dead and she's just a vegetable, or if Max is locked inside of her own mind. We're probably going to find that out in the next season. And then this season comes to an end when everybody reunites in Hawkins. And after a brief reunion, a couple of touching moments with Dustin giving Eddie's uncle his guitar pick necklace and telling him how big of a hero he was and how much he meant to him, and Robin ultimately reconnecting with the girl that she likes in the band. After all those touching moments, we get to a point where Will says that he can feel Vecna, and that until we kill Vecna, none of them are going to be safe and the entire world's always going to be in danger. So they have to kill him as quickly as they possibly can. The moment that this conversation is had, particles from the Upside Down begin raining from the sky. And the fissures in the earth that have cracked Hawkins in half and devastated Hawkins begin to glow with the red glow of the Upside Down. And the season comes to an end. And I believe this was the best way to end this season, on a huge cliffhanger to set up an epic final season, which season 5 is supposedly the final season. So I really enjoyed this season. I think this is the best season by far. I'm in the group that believes that Stranger Things has gotten progressively better with each season. I don't know where people feel like it fell off after season 1. I think that's kind of ridiculous. This show is gold, in my opinion, but it doesn't make it perfect. There is some problems that I have with this season, and they're very minor, but a lot of them got resolved when the second half came out. I'm not a big fan of releasing one half of a season and the other half later. I think that that's just bullshit, honestly. It's kind of like the same thing with Disney Plus that has this 6-episode format for all their shows. It's not working for all of these shows. Some of these shows need more than 6 episodes. Some of them don't need 6 episodes, but it's very odd how some of these streaming services are doing the things they're doing, and honestly, it's not helping their shows do better. Not in my opinion, it's not. To me, it held back Stranger Things season 4 because it gave you a convoluted story that got cleared up in the end. And even though that really didn't affect my rating of the first part of this season, it wouldn't even have been an issue at all if they would have just released all of it all together. There is a couple things I still have a problem with. I really hate they killed Eddie. I liked Eddie. He's definitely one of my favorite characters of this series. I felt like they could have kept him around for another season, but I do understand that this season had to have some weight, which Honestly, I thought they were going to kill Steve, which brings me to my other problem. I'm going to need Steve to get some shining moments in the final season. I think that they took away an opportunity to give Steve this really badass moment against Vecna when Robin is bombing Vecna with Molotovs and Nancy is shooting him with the shotgun. There was a moment where they could have had Steve, because Steve had this big axe. There was a moment where they could have had Steve throw this axe and bury it in Vecna's face or head that would send him careening out the window to his death or supposed death. That was such a missed opportunity. Steve was just there. And it kind of just, it took away from his character. I really don't like they didn't give him a chance to shine. The continued character assassination of Robin. Robin is, she's not the same character from 3. And it's not like a progression thing, it's a regression. I don't know why they chose to do that. It doesn't make any sense. Meanwhile, 11 had some character regression as well. And I understand that some of it's with the plot that you got to overcome adversity or whatnot. I really just wanted 11 and Vecna to go all out against each other, not 11 feel sympathy for him or feel self-esteem issues to where she legit allowed Max to be essentially killed. I didn't like that, but it wasn't enough to really bother me that much. I don't like Will. Will has become my least favorite character. He is so whiny and he is unnaturally whiny. It doesn't make sense. I understand what they're trying to do with his character, all the undertones and everything. That's fine. It's the guy cries every single scene he's in. It's so weird. It's such an odd choice for him. And Finn Wolfhard's character, Mike's fine and everything. I just think Finn Wolfhard is a shitty actor. I think he's a bad actor. I think that him and Will are the two weakest links as far as acting talent goes. I think the rest of the cast has a bright future in showbiz and everything. I don't think those two are going any damn where. After this, I think their careers are done. And I could be wrong, but I think they're done after this. They're terrible actors. They were suspect when they were kids. I gave them the benefit of the doubt. They are not good actors. As far as how everything wrapped up, I think it wrapped up great. Like I said, I think the conclusion then sets up for a great final season. I think the gore and the practical effects were solid. Best of the entire series. I think this season's probably the best season yet. There is some problems, but again, most of those got resolved when the second half of this season dropped. But enough about that, let's get to the verdict. Stranger Things Season 4 Part 2 delivers an epic conclusion to the best season the series has seen yet. With its top-notch special effects, both practical and digital, and the fantastic storytelling by the Duffer Brothers, Season 4 stands firmly above all the others, giving it the definitive title of Best Season Yet, and ultimately sets up the most monumental series finale of all time. But it's not perfect. There's some character development decisions that don't make a lot of sense when it comes to Robin and Elle's characters, and I expected a more monumental battle between 11 and Vecna. But ultimately was satisfied. With all that being said, Stranger Things Season 4 Part 2 gets a 4 out of 5 and is Grizzly grade guaranteed. Go watch it now. And with that, we're going to bring this episode to a close. Thank you all so much for your continued support and patience. Without y'all, this show isn't possible. I want to give a shout out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. He's the guy who makes all this awesome music that I use for my background music, for my intros and my outros. Go check him out at White Bat Audio on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music. The guy does great work. Coming up on the next episode, we're going to be doing a Grizzly guide on Jason Aaron's run on Thor. That's the run that Thor Love and Thunder is pulling from, so get you familiar with all the new characters and all the changes that's going to be coming to the Thor mythos in the movies. So really looking forward to that. Then obviously I'll be giving my review of Thor Love and Thunder So stay tuned for all that. And if you're a new listener, don't forget to go follow me on all social media platforms, especially the Meme Militia Facebook group. By joining the Meme Militia today, you get full access to upcoming episodes, all the clips and stuff that I share, from trailers of movies to news of upcoming projects, all kinds of stuff. It's like a big pop culture page when it comes to all the subjects that we cover here on the show. So join that today. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you like the show, subscribe to wherever you listen to podcasts and share it with your friends. But until then, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.